for those of us that have truly been born again and bought with the precious blood of Jesus, we'll be singing that last song in eternity. Do you ever think about that? We'll be singing that in eternity. It's coming straight out of the book of Revelation. And it's going to be a song that will resonate from our hearts and from our lives throughout eternity. And this morning, as I was thinking about taking new members in to our congregation, there's been a lot going through my mind the last little while. And it started a number of weeks ago, actually. We had, in a staff meeting there at Life Ministries, we had a gentleman come in, and he talked about, he had a devotional with us, and he asked about the return of the Lord. And then he said, you know, it's interesting because we don't hear much about the return of the Lord in our churches today. It's something that we don't talk about. And in our younger years, we heard a lot about that. And I had to think about it. I'm not sure if I've ever really talked about it much. I've mentioned it briefly, but not talked much about the Lord returning and the Lord coming back. And I don't know if you, how much you read, but things have been gearing up in our world, and we're beginning to hear more and more again about the return of the Lord. And actually, I've read non-Christian authors who don't believe in God write from their perspective. We realize that what's happening in the world is about to end. And they approach it from a doomsday, catastrophic, all kinds of things that they're coming from as you approach that subject from a non-Christian perspective. But even the non-Christians, more and more of them are waking up and realizing we're moving towards something. And they look at it from a completely different perspective than what we do as a Christian. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. The title of my message actually is Living Lives of Awareness. How many of us here this morning are living lives of awareness? I was struck with the fact as I read non-Christian authors that are saying we're gearing up towards something. There is an awareness that is happening inside of their lives that sometimes I wonder if I even have. And that we have as Christian people, because they realize something's coming. They realize that there's change about to happen and things will be different. And what about us? Are we living lives of awareness? And I want to start out this morning just talking a little bit. Actually, before I do that, I want to ask these questions. How much do we think about the return of the Lord? How much do we think about that as people today? How much do we talk to our children about it? Because it is a reality. As much as it was a reality, and we sang the song here actually this morning, He came, He lived, and died, but He's coming back again. He's going to return. And as much as His first coming was a reality in our lives, here this morning, and as much as it's been a reality in history, His second coming is every bit as much of a reality. Are we aware of that? Are we talking to our children about that? How much do we talk about it? What feeling goes through us when we talk about the coming of the Lord? I remember as a young man, before I was born again, before I was saved, I remember preachers talking about the return of the Lord, and it struck fear into my heart. What's our feeling this morning as we think about the Lord returning? And I remember just before I got married, we got married, Starla and I. Just before we got married, the whole thing came out, 88 reasons why the Lord is going to return in 88, and we were going to get married in 89. And I remember saying to the Lord, like, please, I mean, I'd like to at least experience it a little bit before, you know, marriage, before you return. And so there's this ambivalence sometimes in our lives. Some of us want the Lord to return, and we sort of say that, but the truth is we don't want him to return, because his return would mess up our lives in some way and what we're experiencing in our lives. And sometimes there's this ambivalence that goes on inside of us, and we say, yeah, I want him to return. But what's the feeling that happens inside of you this morning as you think about the Lord's return, maybe this afternoon, maybe 10 years from now, maybe 20 years from now? What's the feeling that goes on inside of you? Thank you. And the next question is, how do we live our lives this morning in light of the fact that he's going to come back again? Because he will return. He will come back. Living lives of awareness. I actually just want to read a number of scriptures that talk about the return of the Lord. And actually, scriptures talk about two times the Lord's going to return. We look at it in completely different perspectives. But turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 50. Paul says this: now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And what he's saying in that passage of Scripture, as he's referring to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord is going to come back and call us to himself. And it talks about the fact that the dead will be raised. The dead will be raised as the Lord returns. And I'm going to read some more scriptures about that. But we know about a moment, and we know about a twinkling of an eye. That's how fast it's going to be when the Lord returns. He's going to come back in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than I can snap my fingers like that. The Lord is going to return. I've thought about this a lot through the years. So what's going to happen? I sort of get this picture that the Lord will, you know, sort of start descending out of heaven, and we'll have time as we watch him come down. And I know before I was a Christian, I would wonder things like, and if that happens now before I'm a Christian, will I have time to make things right before he comes? Or will that be it? Because I get this picture that Scripture says, in the same way he went up, he'll come down. And I sort of get this picture that, you know, we'll be watching him for a long time. But it's going to be in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, he's going to return. And it talks about the fact that every eye will see him. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read some verses out of that. Actually, He says in that, let me turn back to the passage of Scripture. He calls us to something there. In that, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So we live our lives with an awareness that the Lord is going to return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to start reading at verse 13. But it says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Let me just make one comment there. One of the things I heard my father-in-law say many times while he was alive was, I want to be living by a graveyard when the Lord returns. Because he wanted to see what it would look like for all the graves to burst open and the dead in Christ to rise first. Can you imagine what kind of a sight that would be? From all around the world. I don't know what that's going to look like. I can't even hardly imagine it. But graves bursting open, the dead in Christ will rise first and go to meet the Lord in the air. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up as well. And then it says in verse 18, these are strange words around the talk and the teaching of the coming of the Lord. But in verse 18, he says, comfort each other with these words. Is it a comfort to us that the Lord is going to return? Can, you know, in the midst of life and in the midst of what we go through, in the midst of what we face in life, are we speaking comfort to each other, saying the Lord is going to return? We're not going to live this way forever. There's something happening eternally. There's something happening out there that we are going to be caught up into as born-again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an eternity happening beyond the here and the now. Is that a comfort to us, realizing that maybe this afternoon the Lord's going to come back? Is that a comfort to you and to me? But Paul is saying, comfort each other with these words. Speak words like this to each other, words of life and actually words of hope to one another. Then he goes on and says this, but concerning the in chapter 5, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in a night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, living lives of awareness. Are we living a lives of awareness of this? For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And whether we wake or we sleep, we shall live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are so doing. Another passage of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3. And so actually, this the two passages that I just read is talking about the fact that the Lord's going to come back and receive the believers home to him, to himself, and we know this as the rapture. And I'm not going to preach on eschatology here this morning, because there's a host
of different beliefs of how this is all going to happen and when it's all going to happen. I'm not talking about that this morning. What I'm talking about is, are we aware that it's going to happen? Do we live our lives from the perspective that this is a reality that many of us, and actually the Christians today, many of them are prophesying that the generation that is alive today, at least the younger generation, the possibility of us seeing this in our times is very likely with what's happening in our world today. Are we aware of that, that the Lord is going to return, the rapture is going to happen? 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about another day of the Lord that's going to happen, and it says this, but the day of the Lord in verse 10, will come as a thief in the night. That's the other thing I want to talk about just a little bit this morning. It's going to come as a thief in the night. No one is going to expect it. I shouldn't say no one. Those that are aware and in tune with the Lord, I think, and if we live lives of awareness, we're always going to be expecting it. We're going to be aware that we're moving into those times and into those seasons. But it talks about the fact that when we say there's peace and safety, and in the moment we least expect it, it's going to come upon us just like a thief in the night. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, he asks this very important question. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Man, I tell you what, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait to be a part of a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness is what rules and reigns. It's not what we've been experiencing. It's not where sin and destruction reigns, but where righteousness reigns. I'm looking forward to that time. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and without blameless, and considering that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. And he goes on and talks about those things then beyond that. But in this passage, he's talking about when earth will be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth will be ushered in. And so the Lord is actually going to be returning twice, one for his church, the bride of Jesus Christ, and the second time when the earth will be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth are ushered in. I'm not here to preach on that this morning. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. And the question is, are we living our lives in an awareness of that? I want to read a couple of verses yet out of Revelation chapter 22. You can just listen to this. This is Jesus saying in verse 7, he says this in chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. In verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. And verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. And Jesus ends up the book of Revelation, and actually the last book of the Bible, with three times he's saying, I want you to know something. I'm coming. I'm coming. Now, I'm not sure about the quickly part, because it feels like it's been a long time since he said those words. But the truth is, he's coming quickly. He is going to come. He's going to come in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to come back to receive the church to himself, those that are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Are we living our lives in an awareness of that? The second thing I want to talk about this morning is as we look at living lives of awareness, and as we look at an awareness that the Lord is going to return, the second thing we need to be aware of is our readiness. Because the Lord is going to return, that's a given. The question is, will we be ready for that return? And Revelation talks about how this is actually the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it talks about how we as people will be married. We're the bride of Christ. Those of us that are Christians are considered the bride of Christ. And Jesus actually tells a story in Matthew chapter 25. Turn your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, and he talks about a marriage, and it's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And I want to read that passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." The custom of that day is that the best man would go to the bridegroom's house and bring him to the bride's house. And many times they didn't know when that was. And so the virgins, or the bridal party, and they called them virgins back then, but the bridal party would go out to meet him. And then when the bridegroom and the best man came, they would all go as a procession to the bride's house, and that's where the wedding celebration would happen, and they would go in. And so that's what he's talking about here. It says 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now they didn't know at that moment who was wise and who was foolish. They all went out to meet the bridegroom and to prepare themselves for it, but they didn't know who was wise and who was foolish at that point. They all just went out. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They all thought they had what it took in that moment. They all rose up. They all did the same thing. They were going to go out and meet the bridegroom. But it says this, And the foolish said to the wise, in verse 8, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Then he says this, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." What an incredible passage of Scripture. And I don't claim to know all that that means this morning. But what Jesus is saying is on the day that he returns, many of us that go to church together are going to rise up and say, "Let's go out and meet Jesus. He's returning." And in that moment, we are going to realize if we have what it takes or not in that moment. Many of us are going to think that we've had it before, that we have what it takes, that we are okay. Jesus is saying, "I want you to watch and be aware. I want you to be ready, because no one knows when I'm returning." And we have to live our lives in an awareness of the fact that if he comes today, I'm ready. If he comes 30 years from now, I have what it takes in that moment. I haven't fallen asleep. I've done everything that I've had to do to prepare for that moment, whether it's this afternoon or 30 years from now, or 40 years from now. It says they were all sleeping, but in the middle of their sleep, some of them had prepared ahead. Some of them said, whenever he comes, I'm going to be ready. And they lived their lives in an awareness that as they went out, they said, I'm going to have what it takes for forever. If it's tomorrow morning, they could have slept all night. If he comes tomorrow morning, I'm still going to have, in the early morning hours, I'm going to have oil for my lamps. I'm not going to allow that light to go out. I'm not going to allow the light of my life to go out and Jesus Christ to be snuffed out of our lives. Are we aware of our readiness this morning? And I'm thinking of that as we accept new members in, as we look at our testimony of even our own lives, because a lot of times in these moments we reflect on our own testimony and what the Lord is doing. The third area that we need to be aware of is our impact. Jesus, in the passages of Scripture that I just read, he talks about a number of things. It says we are to comfort and edify each other with these words. We are to be steadfast and unmovable. And then he says this, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, what is the work of the Lord for us as believers? While we're waiting, and while we're waiting for his return, what is the work that he wants us to be about as people? He wants us to be impacting the world. Peter actually talks too about what manner of persons ought we to be as we're waiting for the return of the Lord. What kind of people do we need to be? Well, we need to be people of impact. And I want to just wrap up this morning with a couple of verses out of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this to us as believers, you are the salt of the earth. And actually, the impact of salt is actually a Christian's influence. Jesus said, I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want your influence as you live your lives in this earth. I want you to influence the society around you. I want your lives to be an influence. In the same way that salt is an influence, how many of you like food with no salt, period? There's actually a few people that do. Salt just has a way of changing the flavor of food. And I like salt on my food. It brings out the flavor that's there. It totally changes the flavor of food. And it influences how that food tastes. And sometimes potatoes can just be bland without salt. We need salt. Salt has an influence. And Jesus is saying to you as believers, as you live your lives and as we wait for the return of the Lord, are we an influence in our neighborhoods, in our churches, in the society around us? And he's calling us to that. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its flavor, it's not good for anything but to be cast out. And actually, I believe he's actually tying right into us not being prepared for his return. We're no longer an influence into our cultures and into our families and into the society around us. We have lost the influence, and we need to be aware of our impact. Are the lives that we're living right now, our Christian lives that we say that we're living, do they have an impact in this world? Are they impacting other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, it's interesting. Starla goes knows a lady that she's been to a number of times for some treatment, and it's been interesting. She's an unbeliever, and she talks to Starla different times about the Christian people that come into her for treatment, and she's been asking Starla some about Christianity because she said, I know you're different. I know you're different than a lot of the ones that come in here. And she goes on and on about how Christian people treat her and how they respond to her and all kinds of things. And I come away from those kind of things saying, God, where have we gone? Like, where is our influence? That as Christian people, and we go and we interact with our neighbors and the people around us, that they say, now there's someone that has something to them. There's someone that whose lives are different. And I've heard it from numbers of people now, that some people would rather almost relate to non-Christians than some of us Christians. And I'm not putting everyone in the box because I know that that's not true. And people are different. I'm very much aware of that. But my question is, are we aware of our impact in the people around us? How are we impacting them? And is the salt, are our lives salty to those that we come in contact with? Jesus is saying, I want you to be the salt of the earth. And then he goes on and says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. The light actually is us as Christians' testimony. What's our testimony? As we stand up and we say, I'm a Christian, what is the testimony that flows out of my life? Because the truth is, they're not looking, the world is not looking for perfection. They're looking for a testimony. I was lost and now I'm found. I was this horrible person wrapped up with sin, and Jesus came in and transformed my life and made me a new creature. See, they're not looking for perfection. They don't want to know that we've been grown up in a Christian home and we've been these good people all our lives. No, they want to know what the testimony is. How has our life, how has your life been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the power of Jesus Christ? How are you a different person than you were before? See, that's the light that shines out brightly and in incredible ways, because they see what we were and they see who we are now. And is our light shining brightly? A number of years ago, quite a long time ago, back when they had trains and signalmen and those kind of things, a bridge went out over a chasm. And this man was given the task of standing out beside the track and flagging down the night train that came through because the bridge was out up ahead. And the train came through and didn't stop and went on and fell into the chasm, and countless lives were lost because of it. And in the man's trial, the judge asked him, he said, were you given the job of flagging down the train? And he said, yeah, I was. And then the judge asked him, did you wave your lantern? He was to wave a lantern when it came by. Did you wave your lantern when the train came by? And he said, yes, I did. And so the judge said, okay, you're free to go. You're cleared of your charges against you. And as he was going home, he said to the friend, I'm very glad that the judge didn't ask me if my light was lit, if my lamp was lit. See, he did his job. He went out, he flagged the train. He waved his lantern, but there was no light there. You know, the truth is, sometimes I wonder about our own testimony. We're going through the motions sometimes of Christianity. I do this. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, because You've heard me say before, the same things that we all wrestle with, I wrestle with. I go through periods in my life where I'm frantically waving and there's no light there because I've allowed the light to go out. I've allowed my testimony to just be dimmed by the stuff that I go through in life, by the things that I wrestle with, by the stuff of this world. It goes on and on. And sometimes I in my own life, I'm aware of the fact that I'm not aware of how I'm impacting my world. And Jesus is calling us as people, are you going to impact your world? As you're waiting for my return, what is your impact on the world? He's calling us to be salt, to influence our world. He's calling us to be light, to let the message of the gospel of Jesus shine out of us because of how our lives have been transformed. Are we living lives of awareness? And this morning, as we take in members, I hope we're thinking not only of their stories as they share just a snippet of how the Lord has touched them and blessed them and changed their lives and where they're at today. But what about our story? What about our story? If we would be the ones up here sharing this morning, what flows out of our lives? Are we living lives in awareness of the fact that maybe this afternoon, before this service is out, and it could be, I don't know, 100 years from now, I have no way of knowing. I would like to believe that it's shorter than 100 years, but I don't know if that's true or not. The Lord is going to return. That's a promise that He's given to us in Scripture. It will happen. In the same way He promised the first return, He's promised the second return. And I want to echo Paul's words. If that's true, what kind of people are we to be today? What does that call us to if we believe that with all of our hearts, that the Lord is going to return? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you say in your word is true, and it will happen. And Lord, yet in the middle of that, sometimes we fall asleep. We fall asleep in our lives. And Scripture says that we will. We will be unaware that you're returning. In fact, we're going to say everything's good. And yet in that moment, you're going to come. And some of us will be prepared and some of us may not. Lord, I pray for each one of us. I pray for myself, God, that I would be aware and that I would be able to prepare and keep my life in tune and in focus with you. God, I can only do that through the help of your Holy Spirit. We can only do that as people. God, revive us with your Holy Spirit. Restore us, renew us. Pour into our lives. God, I pray that as we tarry and as we wait, we would continue as individuals, as a church, as a body of believers, that we would be the salt and the light that you're calling us to be. That our influence and our testimony, Lord, would be vibrant for you. God, we need you. We confess that. And we want more of you. We're not satisfied with where we're at today. We want more and more of you. And God, I just pray for each one of us in this room that we would be aware of your return, that we would be aware of our readiness, and that we would also be aware of our impact. In Jesus' name, amen.